Hi, this is Joe Taylor with On Faith's Edge. You're listening to a segment-only episode of On Faith's Edge with former atheist attorney turned Christian apologist Michael Minot. To hear the entire episode, go to onfaithsedge.com. Hello, Michael Minot.
Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a good couple days for me. Working hard, just trying to put everything together with our show here and with the podcast. But other than that, yeah, everything's rolling right along. Spending a lot of time with the family. You brought up summer in the Minot household last time. We're experiencing summer in the Taylor household here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we're just you know, there's lots to do in this great city of ours. So we're trying to get it all in within 3 months. How about you? You doing all right? Still have a full house?
We're doing the same thing. Colorado, I think, is even more accentuated as far as needing to get it done during the summer months, because it gets cooler fairly quickly in the fall. Last night was a little unique. We had our next door neighbor who also has quite a few children like us, and they had an outdoor movie in their backyard and invited the neighborhood over. So great weather and great fellowship. It was really nice.
Was it the kind that I've seen actually recently, the kind of big blow up type that they project on the screen, or was it an actual screen?
It was the blow up screen.
Those are
and
cool.
It was very clear. The technology today is wonderful.
Those are cool.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get into this week's question. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The prevailing Christian doctrine is that Jesus Christ was and is God. My direct question to you is, do you believe that the Bible teaches us that Jesus was indeed and claimed to be God?
I don't think there's much question that Jesus did claim to be God. He said that no one would go to the Father but through him. And many other references to where he indicated that he was the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. So I don't think there's much debate that Jesus claimed to be God. In fact, that was part of the controversy. That was what made many of the people of his day angry, as because he made that very claim.
I see. Well, I certainly have some tough questions about that claim. Jesus may very well have made that claim, but I'm not sure that claim was realized in some of the ways he spoke, some of the things he said, and some of his intended actions. Can I go ahead and go through just a couple tough questions with you?
Certainly.
All right. Hey, I'm going to read through some scripture because there are some tough questions that I have about this concept. I'm going to read through some scripture, and we'll let it roll from there. Here's my question. Who was Jesus praying to in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22? Here's what he said. He said, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Before you answer that, and on the cross in Luke chapter 23, when starting at verse 33, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments. A little further in the same chapter, Michael, verse 44. This is Luke chapter 23, verse 44. "And it was about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Finally, last one, Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 45. "Now, from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." I don't know what language that is, Michael, but that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, those were a series of scriptures that all Jesus was speaking to somebody else. Now, I don't mean any disrespect here, but Michael, unless Jesus was schizophrenic, who was he talking to? If he was God, who was he talking to?
All of the scripture references that you have made point to an issue that comes up with respect to the difference between what the Christian belief is concerning the concept of God versus all other religions. I think we have mentioned in prior segments that there are two other monotheistic religions, being Judaism and Islam, which, together with Christianity, makes up the three primary monotheistic, or belief in one single God, as opposed to multiple gods. But within Christianity, this issue that you're touching on makes it unique from all other religions, including Judaism and Islam. Because Christianity would say that what the scriptures describe is a God that has three persons. God is one. God is one entity, but it is made up of three persons, distinguishable from each other, even though they're not separate. We have some examples we can look to, although we're going to be shy of completely describing this entity of God because it's unique in and of itself. They are unique. But here, when we're looking at our affairs, there are certain things that when people come together, they create a one single entity. I mean, each of us who are married, the marriage itself is one entity. In fact, the Bible describes the two that come together for marriage as being one. Now, there's two people that still remain after the marriage ceremony, but they become so together that the marriage is considered one entity. If we look to the business world, man has made up, we've legislated in our laws the ability for people to come together and do business in partnerships and in corporations. Now, if we look to the corporate entity, we can think of any of the larger corporate entities or even the smaller ones, but let's just take General Motors, for example. General Motors is a single business, a single entity. When it signs contracts and does its business, it does so in the name of General Motors, but General Motors has thousands of people who work for it, who run it, and thousands more who are shareholders. So there's different functions of these people, but the people are all operating under one entity, which is General Motors. Now, as I said, please don't think that I'm describing God as being either the marriage and it's just like that, or a corporate entity in business and it's just like that. That's not what I'm saying.
Those are indeed
tough
analogies.
But what I am saying is that there are examples. That's right, examples of how more than one person comes together and is considered to be one. And that's the concept that the Christian beliefs have regarding who God is. There is these three people who are so together and so in common with everything that they do that they are considered not only inseparable, but considered as one. So the concept of God is the corporate form of the three persons, which are God the Father, which is a person, God the Son, which is another person, and God the Holy Spirit, which is yet a third person. So, going back to the scriptures that you were referencing, each of them can be read with that explanation to know that there is some conversation between Jesus, one person in the Godhead, who is speaking to another person in the Godhead, or other types of interactions between them.
Is there a hierarchy here, Michael, with these persons? For example, God, you would think that you have God the Father. Okay, that's the top guy. Then you have God the Son, which is okay, he's a little lower than God the Father, and then you have God the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of the assistant or the helper to God. These concepts are what people are talking about. Is there a hierarchy there, Michael, or are they equal in and of themselves?
I don't think the scriptures describe them as being one over the other, and there being a hierarchy, as you say. There may be different functions. They may do things. One person within the Godhead may perform different functions than the others. We know that only one of the persons of the Godhead came to earth as a man and then suffered and died and then rose, and that was Jesus. And the Father nor the Holy Spirit performed that function. We know that the Father has certain functions that neither Jesus nor the Holy Spirit performs, and the same with the Holy Spirit that neither the Father that Jesus performs. And so the fact that they do things and have different functions or perform different acts that the others don't perform does not necessarily cause either one of them to be in a higher point in a hierarchical standpoint than the other. So I don't find any authority to support a position, if anyone is taking that position, that there is a hierarchy within the three persons of God.
I see. Well, I want you to clarify one other concept here then, because keeping all of that in mind, that there are these separate entities, and you may have addressed this a little bit, but you know, if I might be making my own argument here, but if Jesus was God, if Jesus was indeed God, he was God on earth, he clearly referred to God as a completely separate entity. In John chapter 12, verse 49, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who has sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Again, this passage, along with John in chapter 14, says, "I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Jesus said that in John chapter 14, verse 28. So, keeping that in mind, doesn't Jesus make a clear separation between him and God?
God the Father.
Right.
As we mentioned earlier, the persons, I don't think that there is much argument that they are not distinct. Distinct as persons, but not distinct as to motive, as to desire, as to... They are so in common with so many things, in everything, actually, except for functions, that they... it would be improper to not call them collectively God and refer to them together collectively as God. And so when Jesus is speaking about the Father, I don't think that he is in any way indicating that they are separate, have separate motivations, separate desires, and other types of things that we would think that we as humans have. None of us humans have ever come to the point where we're able to be so in one, so in common, so alike with another that we are identical, identical twins and other things. They still have their differences, lots of differences, but somehow in ways that we cannot understand. So much of what we cannot understand about God is how they are together in everything, except for the fact that they have separate functions on occasions. And the ones that we see recorded the most are when Jesus came to earth. That's, I think, the best example of one of the persons in the Godhead doing something that the others did not do. So, if I understand your question, Jesus not just concedes it, he's stating that, you know, I am me, but also there is the Father. And he speaks to the Father as a person, and the Father has an understanding of things that are taking place at that time that maybe Jesus did not, because they allowed themselves to have a separateness, particularly as to that time. It's also touching on another issue, which we do not have a great understanding of. What did Jesus know or give up when he became a human? Mm-hmm. What did he, as far as his divine nature or his divine knowledge about things, as a human walking the earth, did he continue to have all knowledge, all understanding, as he did before he became a human? Or did he have to rely upon the Father to guide him and the Holy Spirit to guide him as he was a human to some extent? It's just a question. It's a quandary that is not explained, and there's a lot of debate regarding that. But it just simply outlines yet again that these are three persons, but not separate with respect to being all God.
Yeah, what did Jesus know? What did Jesus do? You know, how human was he? How God was he when he was on the earth? You know, I think it's in Philippians chapter two, he said that it stated that Jesus emptied himself of all rights to be God or all the rights of God. I think it said he humbled himself of all rights of God. So does that mean he didn't know what what God would know about, you know, being what's going to happen, you know, how people are? Because there are certainly things that Jesus did that are supernatural, things he knew that, you know, he could have only known had he been God. And that goes into a whole nother day, Michael, about, you know, what did Jesus know? How much of God was he when he was here on the earth? And I think it's something that we struggle with, we meaning me, because I tend to want to put God into this space and time box that I'm in without realizing that he's so far out of this space and time that there are things that I just don't get.
That may be true because it's not subject to being known. On this side of eternity, we simply don't know certain things. And so just to add to...
But Michael, we have to know.
we don't. And I'm personally speaking quite comfortable with what I don't know, because I believe that the scriptures are given to us for a specific reason. It's not to know all things. It's to know what we need to know to love God back. And so these questions we're raising, which some of which are unanswerable, the question of what did Jesus know and the time-space issue that you were talking about, we certainly know that Jesus proclaimed himself to be God. And so he knew that he was fulfilling all of the messianic prophecies that are outlined in the Old Testament. And that would be very difficult to believe that he knew that without having some degree of knowledge that he was God. Was that given to him by the Father or the Holy Spirit at a certain point in time when he was human? Or when he was born, did somehow that knowledge carry with him? It's just, there's issues that we would want to know about. We would want to have the total and complete picture on everything, and we're just not going to have that.
Or, you know, or the concept of, as a full human, was Jesus able to align himself so much as we're supposed to with the will of the Father that he had these things? And when you align yourself with the will of the Father completely, I'm not sure we can do that in this life, but it was Jesus the model that when he aligned himself completely with the will of the Father, that these things, he had these things, he had these powers, he had these supernatural powers. I don't know. That's just a concept that kind of runs through my mind. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up this week, Michael. I certainly appreciate it. I think you've given us certainly a lot to chew on and, frankly, a lot to talk about in future episodes. So next week, we have the question for you. Is hell real? And if so, how can a loving God send his creation there? Will you be ready for us?
I'll be ready.
Great,
Michael. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Certainly appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.